Listen to the good news proclaimed in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, reading from the 21st verse.
Glory to Christ our Savior.
From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. He took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ our Lord.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. While Jesus remains in the north, the focus of the story now shifts towards Jerusalem. And as Jesus warns his disciples of what was to come and prepare them to be followers, not of a triumphant Messiah, but of one whose mission was to be completed through suffering and death. Yet Jesus was busy with his private ministry in Galilee, preparing the disciples because this would demand a radical reorientation in their thinking. And from now on until he arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus' attention was focused on teaching the disciples rather than on further public ministry. From now on, the mission became a march to death, and the disciples had to learn to live with this new perspective. But Jesus also commanded his disciples silence. And for the disciples, it meant something totally different as it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. For Peter and the disciples had been brought up on the idea of a Messiah of power, glory, and conquest. But they were still thinking in terms of a conquering Messiah, a warrior, a king who would sweep the Romans from Palestine and lead Israel to power. And maybe this is what many of us think, that Jesus is a Messiah who must conquer our enemies. But you see, my friends, our enemies is not enemies to Jesus. When Jesus looks at us, he sees a broken world with full of opportunities to direct our minds and thoughts in the cross to save us from hardships and heal our broken relationships with one another and with God, to reconcile and to love and not to destroy. Jesus began to seek to open the eyes to the fact that for him there was no way but the cross. He said that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. But this was, however, too much for Peter. Hence his reaction in verse 22, where Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him and said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen." To him, the idea of a suffering Messiah, the connection of a cross with the work of this Messiah, was just unbelievable. The same Peter who declared that Jesus was the Messiah, the same Peter who Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." With Peter's response, he affirmed that the disciples did not fully understand, and he responded with a mind of human concerns which he did not fully understand, and he thought he had a better idea. And maybe he also thought that maybe with his plan, Jesus could escape this suffering. How many of us sometimes are also like Peter, taking Jesus aside and trying to convince him otherwise? How many times do we not manipulate Jesus in our prayers? And how many times do we not want to show Jesus the other way? But Jesus knew what lied ahead. Jesus' response to Peter by saying in verse 23, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." When Jesus responded to Peter in this way, it was not maybe in anger, but maybe out of compassion, and more like a person wounded to the heart, because the question is, why did Peter react like this? But Peter's reaction maybe reminded Jesus of his time in the wilderness, where Satan tempted Jesus to take the way of power, to give the world bread, material things, sensations, wonders, and they would follow Jesus. Satan indicated how gullible and imperfect humanity is. And sometimes when things get difficult, we are also inclined to take the easy road. And like Peter, we are in the world, so we think like the world. The way Jesus reacted was because Peter confronted him were the very same things the tempter did. And that is why Peter was Satan, which literally means adversary, challenger, opponent, antagonist. That is why Peter's ideas were not God's, but humanity. Jesus resisted the temptations of Satan, and therefore Jesus is giving us and showing us the opportunities. Jesus knew where his Jerusalem was, and he knew he was set aside for the task of God, and so are we. And like with the disciples, Jesus is also trying to open our eyes. With the phrase of "get behind me, Satan," maybe Jesus was also saying to Peter, "Your place is behind me and not in front of me. Behind me and not next to me," maybe literally taking the picture where Peter took Jesus aside. "But it is your place to follow me in the way I choose, and not to try to lead in the way you would like me to go." Doesn't this sound familiar? Because it is only God who has the overall picture. And since Jesus is still trying to open our eyes, since we only have a chunk of the overall picture, we cannot afford to leave. It does not mean that he banished us from the presence of God, but we are in a proper place as a follower, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And it is true for all of us that we must ever take the way of Christ and never seek to compel him to take our way. Jesus het geweet aan sy een kant gesit vir die taak van God, en hy het geweet wat dit is om sy kruis op te neem en te dra. Hy het geweet dat dit gaan nie maklik wees nie, en hy het geweet wat dit behels om gehoorsaam te wees aan God. Despite the cross of the elders or the chief priests, despite the daily sufferings, despite the betrayal we sometimes have to endure from family and the family in God, like the brothers of Joseph did, obedience towards God comes with a price. But it is all worth it, and we do not have to choose the easy road. What good will it be for someone to gain the world and forfeit their soul? But in all of this, there is a promise. Verse 28, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Jesus was talking here of the mighty work of his kingdom, and what he said came true. There were those standing there who saw the coming of Jesus in the coming of the Spirit at the day of Pentecost and several other events. But again, this is to be taken closely with what goes before, when Jesus warned his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and that he must suffer many things and die. That was the shame, but the shame was not the end. The cross was not to be the end, it was to be the beginning of the unleashing of that power which was the outpouring throughout the whole world. This is a promise to the disciples and to us, that there is nothing that humanity can do which will hinder the expansion of the kingdom of God. Jesus is giving us the recipe to live instead of just existing. The situation we find ourselves in at the moment confronts us and is testing us beyond our limits, where we get to face the choice and the decision regarding our faith. And yes, those who are faithful may die, but die to love, and those who abandon their faith for safety and comfort may love that they live to die. Another promise, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Yes.
Amen.